They still don't know where he is. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, but they keep searching in Maine for Robert Card, the suspected mass shooter in Lewiston.
I will ask the community to be as patient as possible with this process.
That's Police Chief David St. Pierre, where 18 people were murdered in a bar in a bowling alley, 13 more injured. The FBI and a Border Patrol unit among those involved in the search, Maine Public Safety Commissioner Mike Soschuk just said,
we want to make sure that we bring this individual to custody. We've got to do it right. We got to do it the safe way to not see anybody else get hurt.
People in the area still told to shelter in place. This hour in New Hampshire, another runner on the road to the White House will file to get on the primary ballot. This time it's a Democrat, Congressman Dean Phillips, who was a Biden supporter but says now it's time for a new generation, posting a campaign launch video.
We've got some challenges, that's for sure. We're going to repair this economy, and we are going to repair America as long as we do it together.
Now, there's some concern about the president's age. And as Fox's Peter Ducey reports from the White House, the Biden approval ratings keep dropping.
Just since last month, President Biden has shed 4 points among all adults in the Gallup poll, down to 37%. But he's lost 11% of Democrats, too, from 86 down to 75.
Well, his support for Israel's war against Hamas could be a factor. A Gallup poll earlier this year showed more Democrats sympathetic to Palestinians than Israelis. President Biden's expected to meet with China's foreign minister today amid new tension after yet another close encounter this week between the Chinese military and the U.S. A fighter jet flew within 10 feet of a U.S. military plane over the South China Sea. The U.S. went on the attack in Syria, targeting militant bases with airstrikes.
These are bases that were operated by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and this is a response to the menacing of attacks to U.S. forces in the region. Some 19 attacks from drones and missiles, resulting in 21 injuries of U.S. forces.
That's Fox's Mike Tobin, an American contractor, also died of a heart attack. America's listening to Fox News.
Life is about being active. Whether it's about going on your daily tasks or exercising, you know you're well when you're regularly active. But what happens when being active actually hurts by the end of the day? This is the position I found myself in a number of years ago. Everything I wanted to do in my daily life, all of the activity it called for, was held captive to almost constant nagging pain. When I heard about Relief Factor, I was skeptical, but my wife said, give it a chance. Not long after I took it, I could feel the pain begin to melt away, and I've been taking it ever since. And I can tell you that Relief Factor has helped me get my life back. I love that it's not a drug, but it was developed by doctors, and about 70% of the people who try it go on to order more. Your first step to becoming pain-free just might be ordering a 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or ReliefFactor.com. Find out all about this offer and feel the...
Here's the news in 60 seconds. The city of Yuma will welcome the Tunnels to Towers 9/11 Never Forget exhibit today and tomorrow, marking the exhibit's only Arizona appearance in 2023. The exhibit will provide area residents the chance to learn more about the events of 9/11 terrorist attacks. The exhibit will be parked on Main Street and open to the public for free today from 1 to 7 and Saturday from 11 to 5. The exhibit is an 83-foot tractor trailer that transforms into an 1,100-square-foot display featuring World Trade Center steel and numerous items found in the rubble of the Twin Towers collapse. Opening ceremonies today at 12:30 will include remarks from Yuma Mayor Doug Nichols. A record number of migrants were stopped at the southern border in fiscal 2023, with the highest numbers in the Tucson sector. Migrant encounters there place the Tucson sector third overall, behind the El Paso and Del Rio sectors in Texas. Encounters have been falling in recent months in Yuma. Records indicate that families made up the largest share when compared to single adults in both the Yuma and Tucson sectors. For more, go to HumanDailyNews.com.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Derek Egberg with Academy Mortgage, and I'm with Yuma Investment Group. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
So as we get a little closer to Halloween, any plans on what you're going to dress up as?
A mortgage banker.
So that's also known as a nerd.
could be. Said the guy with tape on his glasses for crying out loud.
Hey, I had to say that.
You know what's funny is we actually have a plan every year. I love our office. They're just a fun group. Yes, there is a dress up theme, so there will be a full ensemble. But I'm not allowed to say until the pictures are taken.
Okay.
Are you?
Yeah, I actually got a party to go to this Saturday.
Okay, are you allowed to say what you're dressing up as?
Sure. I'm going to dress up as a bullfighter.
Really?
Well, the only reason why that was picked is my wife was trying to figure out what to dress up as, so she's dressed up as a Spanish dancer.
Uh-huh.
So I figured, well, what goes as a Spanish dancer? Bullfighter.
Matador.
Yeah, matador. So we'll see how that goes.
Don't play with real swords. Whatever happens, just go ahead. No drinking and swords.
I think it's great.
So, you know, when people look at the economy...
Wait a minute, you didn't ask.
Oh.
Russ, are you going to dress up?
Because
I know. Come on, you've got that 12-foot dragon in front of your daughter's house.
Correct.
That gray skull. Come on, what are you dressing up as? You can't be the old grumpy grandpa that
maybe
doesn't dress up.
Dress up as a business owner as an auto shop.
There you go. No, I have not got any costume.
Go get the ensemble from the old guy in the movie Up, and just dress up as that grumpy old dude and sit on a lazy boy for a while.
No.
No, that's
right. Anyways, everyone's kind of watching what's going on with the economy, interest rates, what the Fed's thinking. Big number that came out yesterday was the third quarter GDP number. Came out at 4.9%, and that's a number that usually changes a little bit up or down. It's not a 100. Usually takes about a month later before they finalize that number. But that is a big number because the quarter before, the second quarter of the year, was at 2.1%.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone, that's a 2% jump. Why that's a big deal is because what GDP measures is basically they measured the final product of a good that's sold. And let me explain that a little bit because it might be a little confusing. So let's just say you make a shovel, and in that shovel you need to have, you know, wood, maybe some screws, and then maybe the metal handle at the end. And they don't count those items, even though being sold to somebody to make the shovel, they count the final product. So it's the last thing sold as created. That makes sense. So that's a big number because probably the two numbers that people look at on how the economy is doing is the GDP number, gross domestic product, and then the second one is jobs. And as you know, the jobs number 2 weeks ago, give or take, you know, that number came out almost double what they were anticipating.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at those two numbers, I mean, that things look pretty strong.
So let's talk about here's the scale. If jobs are strong, and what are really the only two levers the government, the Federal Reserve have to pull to stimulate or pull back the economy?
Cost of money.
Yep.
And how many people are in the job pool, if you will. So strong job numbers means what would you expect to have happen for rates? If more people are working, more people are buying goods, which pushes
demand,
which pushes potentially inflation.
Money.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always a positive and a negative, you know, and unfortunately, not good or bad. These strong numbers means there's more money in the market, which potentially could push the, whether you want to call it the inflation numbers, whether you just call it the demand for product, you're going to continually push rates higher when you see strong numbers like that.
And that also questions what the Fed's going to do, because even though it's a strong number, the Fed might feel they got to increase, you know, one or two more times.
Yeah. Well, and now let's look at another scale based on that. When you see numbers that seem to be very positive, Tom, if you had $100,000 laying around cash, would you stick it in a savings account that was earning nothing? Or would you look for an investment that pays you something somewhere?
I would look for an investment.
Okay.
CDs and T-bills are...
Are paying what? You can go get 5%.
5%.
So you as a consumer can now get... Remember when we used to get zeros when some of these numbers were bad? Now that you can get fives and five and a halves on money markets, CDs, savings accounts, what do you think the cost of debt has to be if you can get 5 to 5.5 on your savings? It has to be significantly more than that. Typically, 2.5 points over the savings is what you typically see. Not a guarantee, but if you can get 5.5 on your savings, what would you expect mortgage rates to be? Hey guys, math, 2.5 over 5.5.
7.5, 8%.
7.
Cool. Right. So we're pushing 8%. Hey, guess where our interest rates are? We've touched 8. So, you know, mortgage rates are at 8. Where do you see autos and credit cards significantly higher than that? So these strong numbers and the demand with people who have money to make money is going to continue pushing the cost of money higher.
You kind of called it, because I know about a month or so ago you're saying by the end of the year that mortgages would get up to 8%, which has happened. So good job.
Well, I don't want to be right on that. Yeah, we've been saying that for about what, Russ, a year?
2 years, I mean, maybe. I don't know.
You know, we talked about it, and unfortunately, when Doug Douglas, who is the former chief economist for Fannie Mae, said that March, April of 2023, so again, 6 months ago, we were supposed to be back down in the fours. No, if you look at the data, that's not possible. And so now, unfortunately, we've touched eights, and I really think that we're going to be in this same environment all the way through 2024. I don't see rates coming back down until sometime, maybe if we're lucky, second, third quarter of 2025. But 2024 is going to feel just like this year.
So you're thinking maybe 7.5 to 8.5 probably float in there somewhere?
All of this next year, yes. And you know, again, somebody with really good credit and 20% down, you're going to be in the sevens. Somebody who has kind of mediocre credit, kind of like a Russ Clark, now you're going to start with an 8.
So if you look at the last four quarters before this quarter, like, so this quarter was 4.9. The quarter before that was 2.1. Before that was 2.2. Now, that one came out at 0.9%. And about a month later, they revised it at 2.2, which is a pretty big difference. Quarter before that, 2.6. Quarter before that, 2.7. So basically, they were flying pretty much between 2, 2.5, pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. Now, a strong economy over time is 2 to 3% is what they don't complain about. So if things get up too quickly, like 4%, 4.9 is pretty high, they don't like to see that either. But they like to see the steady eddy stay between 2 and 3%, and type of fluctuation. The cost of, you know, what I want to talk about, because I've seen this, especially with interest rates going up, is the stress, financial stress, mm-hmm. is what I'd call it. And everybody has some type of financial stress, some more than others. I know with Christmas coming up, believe it or not, there's a lot of financial stress there about, you know, trying to figure out how to get the money to pay for whatever you want to buy for your kids or your spouse. Mm-hmm. It's a stressful time of year. I don't know if you look back and when you were doing mortgages 2 years ago compared to doing mortgages today, do you see a little bit more distress on people and trying to figure out how to do a mortgage?
Hugely. And it comes down to, you know, everybody has a personal situation. Like you say, it's not, we can look at global numbers, but it's individual to the person. But the cost of debt has gone up, the additional revenue coming in, whether it's, hey, overtime and bonuses, whether it's COVID stimulus payments, the amount of monies that people have coming in has gone down and the cost of their debt to carry has gone up. And unfortunately, you know, anecdotally, I would tell you probably 80% of my clients have proportionally more debt, credit card and revolving, than 2 years ago.
Yeah, which kind of makes sense, because if gas goes up, food goes up, you know, I mean, people for the most part have a fixed income. They're going to have to either spend their savings account, mm-hmm. for the difference, or put it on a credit card.
Well, you talked about financial stress and the holidays and things like that. You know, we've talked about this before. Go back to the movie Scrooged. Remember that?
I mean, I like that movie.
I love that movie. That's what you could dress up as, Russ.
Scrooge, Bill Murray.
Get somebody, please bring some green face paint over here and we'll dress you up.
The Grinch.
But you look at, you know, we've gotten to the point, I got to buy and do all this other stuff instead of giving something meaningful and just a quality item. I'll give you an example, and it's bugged me a lot. So my birthday was a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, I got a few birthday cards, And I got a really nice birthday card from somebody that I really respect. Cool. Just a card. Didn't have to have anything in it. I got another birthday card from somebody that I really expect. And they put a gift card in there for a drink that's dark and hot. So I'll let you use that, your imagination.
Starbucks?
But they had bought those cards in bulk to give them out. So their name is on the gift card and their company is on the gift card.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, wow, you sent me a birthday card with a $5 card from your name on it. That's not really a gift. That's promotion.
I'd still take it.
Well, you can have it if you want. It's in my car. Wow. But
it didn't individualize you.
Didn't individualize me, but yeah. I appreciate that card that is literally just the card more than the gift that somebody went to spend an extra $5 or $10. And I don't know if it's $5 or $10 because I haven't cashed it in. But that person spent more money, and the gift is less appreciated than just the card. And I see a lot of people doing that is they rack their credit cards up to the absolute limit, but they could do way more relationally with a lot less money.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll take another break here. First break, this is Money Talk, 560 AM.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK 0904081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Tom Rush, Russ Clark, Derek Eggeberg talking all things financial, mortgage, credit, and sounds like Christmas spending.
And just the financial stress of what's out there in today's world.
So off air, on the break, we were talking about a couple things. And so when we talk about it, here's a really good example. The financial stress that sometimes we all put ourselves into, we don't need. Gentlemen, have you ever had a Rolex, owned a Rolex? I mean, really nice watches.
No.
Okay. Do you know anybody who has Rolexes?
Yes.
Okay. So pretend that person. If I was going to buy them a gift, I would have to go spend $5,000 to go buy them another Rolex.
Minimum.
or you know, something equal, and I'm probably not going to impress them because it's going to be like, all right, I'll put that in my drawer along with my 72 other Rolexes or whatever. But if I turned around and went and bought hypothetically, a genuine Italian leather belt that might be $300 that's, you know, really good quality, that person might go, wow, I don't have one of those. That's amazing. That $300 belt might be so much more appreciated than another really expensive watch. But far too often, at least from my position, I see people spending lots of money getting the absolute most expensive stuff they can versus the best in class kind of item that makes people feel appreciated.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about what you're saying about, you know, one guy gave you a card, another guy gave you a card with Starbucks with his name on it. But you know, like the one had more meaning, just the handwritten note.
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays with Christmas, you know, if listeners out there are a little tight on money, you know, one of the things you could do is just give some type of gift card to the mom or somebody and say, hey, I'm going to do dishes 10 times or whatever. I'm talking like a high school kid or college kid. Like, you don't have to go buy something. You can give a little gift card. I clean the yard, or, you know, if you tell me, I don't know. That's probably more in play. My wife would probably be happier if I did something like that.
Yeah, she probably would. So I want to see Tom in the Matador Bull Fighter outfit doing yard work while his wife is cashing in that certificate. Hey.
Yeah, good luck.
But, you know, so one the biggest thing that causes financial stress, I got a list here, so I had to come from somebody. But the biggest thing is not having an emergency fund. And if you think about the, you know, the financial stress of people, it's usually I need money, mm-hmm. and I need money soon or now. So it makes complete sense about, you know, having an emergency fund.
Right. When the hot water tank blows up or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What? Or, you know, hate to say it, 58% of the Americans out there are paycheck to paycheck.
Yep.
So, you know, you're going to get paid on Friday, but you need lunch money on, you know, Wednesday. That causes a little bit of stress, right?
That's why Wimpy used to borrow money from Popeye for the hamburger. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today kind of thing. But you're 100% right. And from my, again, seat on the bus, and I'm sure you see different seats, you're starting to see people use their tax refunds, hoping for a tax refund to fix some of the financial stress that they had throughout the year. And you and I know that's not free money. That was just their money that they paid in and gave the government an interest-free loan for the last 8, 10, 12 months, and then they're getting their own money back. They could have adjusted their withholdings if they get large refunds and use that money all year long. But the financial stress, I'm starting to see people, you know, in our business, you see a lot of mortgage and real estate people who say, hey, use your tax refund to use as the down payment on a home. Great. No problem. There's a lot of reasons to do that. But now I'm seeing people who can't afford to do that because they're using that tax refund to pay down on the credit card debt that they use to live all year long.
I think there's quite a few people that uses their tax refund for a purpose of saving. Like, they realize they're overpaying, but they figure that's a better method of saving than to do it yourself. I mean, that happens more than you think.
It does. And if it was savings every year and that was a way to take that bulk money and give it to you, Tom, and say, hey, invest this for me, amazing. But when you use that and then you pay down the credit cards and then you push the credit cards back up again over the next 12 months and hope the refund is correct again, it's a cycle that I'd like to see more people break.
So as far as emergency fund from the financial books say, you know, you can have as much as you want, but really that's saying to have about 3 to 6 months of what you spend. And I know if you're really conservative or if you're maybe a little older and more conservative, I've seen people try to do like a year. So that means if you're spending $3,000 a month, you know, 6 months, you need to have about $18,000, give or take, rat hold somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to happen overnight. So you have to have kind of a plan on how to get there. And the best way to get there is, it's like eating an elephant, one bite at a time. You know, I know people that, you know, have their saving or checking account, and then they move, you know, $100 or whatever to the savings account, and the savings account, you know, doesn't really get touched unless something really, really bad happens. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it's more than $100 a month. But there's certain disciplines or techniques people can use to get better at it, and they're not hard. It's just that you got to make an effort to have a plan.
Yeah.
So, and then the other thing that we're seeing out there is, you know, naturally debt's probably going up with price of food and gas and now mortgage rates.
Credit card balances are over $1.03 trillion in the United States.
Yep, the highest it's been historically. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you see people, too, trying to pay off the wrong debt. You know, they want to make an extra car payment, or maybe the car payment's at, you know, 2.99 interest when they have a, you know, 18% credit card. Mm-hmm. Or I've seen this a lot when we do financial planning. You know, everyone has this big goal to pay their house off early. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, it's a good feeling, but if you don't have an emergency fund, or if something was going to happen to one person in your household, because nowadays most Americans are living on two household incomes to make things work, you know, doesn't make a lot of sense to pay down a 3% mortgage. Do you ever find that when you're going through with people, like trying to help them figure out what to pay down? Because you do that. You coach people, right?
We see that all the time.
There's a little bug in your throat there, huh?
Well, no, he just choked up over the subject.
You know, this budgeting and holiday spending, it makes me happy.
Yeah,
holy cow.
It's really happy.
But you're right. It's I see people that want to pay $50 or $100 down on the house before the credit card. And
and even before the credit card, the emergency fund.
Well, and our industry has, when I say industry, just marketing in general, there's the, hey, make an extra payment per year, do your biweekly payments. Basically, it accounts to one extra payment per year, and you can pay your house off roughly 8 years faster. So you have people who go, oh my gosh, if I struggled to make one extra payment per year, in 22 years, my house is going to be paid off, which means it didn't do anything to change their life for the last 22 years. And that's the hard part for people to understand is, say, wait a minute, pay off the credit card, don't do the house because it's probably the cheapest debt you have right now. And if you took that money, and here's always my example, if you took that extra money and gave it to Tom and invested it, and you did that for 22 years, and he grew it at a rate that is exceeding your mortgage, which most of the time you would have at the same point in history that your mortgage is paid off, you'd have enough to write a check to pay the house off, and you could keep all the difference that Tom helped you make. But that discipline is, that means people have to consciously choose to put it over here and consciously choose not to spend it, because unfortunately a lot of people see that big bucket of money and they go, oh my gosh, I'd really like one of those new hats Russ has. Oh my gosh, I really want one of those e-bikes that Russ has because he looks super cool riding that around with his
very cool
minion helmet with the Beto. Yeah,
yeah. And the little black dog.
Yep. Yeah. Hey.
So a good point to that. So one of the things that we tell people to do, I mean, as far as paying their house off, is if they're going to save money, put it in a Roth IRA, because after 59 and a half, it comes out 100% tax-free and doesn't affect you from a tax standpoint, dividends, capital gains. So the Roth is a great mechanism to save money in if the goal is to pay a house off. So that's it takes even a step further.
And that's a plan and discipline, which is what you're talking about. The plan is we have to be tactical about it. It's not emotional. And so many people feel good at the end of the day because they sent an extra $100 in on their mortgage. Sorry, Tom, if you sent $100 in on your mortgage, do you actually even notice it when you look at the statement the next month? No.
No.
Do you even look at your statement?
No.
No, it's probably automatically drafted and it is what it is. That $100 mechanism is a feel good, but it didn't change the fact that they could have paid off a department store card or a credit card or worked for the next 18 months and gotten it paid off.
And more importantly, you know, something bad happens and you need money. Yeah. And sometimes you really need the money, like if a car broke down and you don't have transportation. And if you don't have any excess money to do that, then you're in a bad shape. One of the things I think people don't give enough to is taking advantage of their employer is matching their money in some type of retirement plan. You'd be amazed, especially the younger generation, how many people just don't care. And you're like, look, you're getting 100% return on your money by them matching. No one will pay you 100% return consistently ever. You need to do this. Mm-hmm. Now, in my case, I put some money away. My first job was with Dean Witter, which was turned into Morgan Stanley. And I funded my 401k, and I used a loan against my 401k to buy my first house. And I was single and having fun going out, you know, a couple nights a week more than I should. And I don't know if I would have saved that much money because it was nice to buy a house, but it wasn't my first priority. But when the opportunity came and the 401k would let me loan against it, bam, I did it. Mm-hmm. Hindsight, that was a good move and it helped out. So a 401k can only be used for retirement. A lot of times there's some loan provisions in there. Not great to use it like a piggy bank, but when you need that purchase, it's money available.
Well, to your point, though, using it as a piggy bank, sometimes you look at whether you say an auto. You know, if I took my car over to Russ's shop and engine's blown, what's a new engine? Honestly, five, 6,000?
Five to 10.
Okay. So maybe I need 5 to 10. Do I put it on a credit card at 20% interest, or do I take a loan out from my 401k where my interest is going back into my account? And yes, there's the fees, whatever.
Yeah, and a lot of the interest on the 401k loans are very low.
Right.
Like 2-3%. I mean, not a lot.
So you do get to the point, you know, and again, I've had friends and even staff that's like, guys, don't do it this way. You don't need to refinance your house and get rid of your 3% interest rate. Because, again, if you did a cash-out refinance right now, you're in the, you know, sevens and eights. You see these people who are doing second mortgages. Gentlemen, are second mortgage interest rates higher or lower than first mortgage rates?
I know.
Lower. Higher.
I think he went out one too many nights this week.
How much higher? I'm curious. A couple points?
It depends. So second mortgages are based very much on your credit score and your loan to value. So the more equity percentage wise you're using, they get higher. The poopier your credit score, the higher they are.
But like, so you're up to like 12%?
Oh, 12-14%.
Oh, okay.
And, so you know, some of them are in the 9 to 10s, yeah, and some are in the
50
teens.
50 to 100% higher.
But if you say, hey, I don't need to do that on my house, and I'm the house guy, but I don't need to do that on my house because I have this pool of cash that I can borrow against and pay back. And how do you pay back your 401k?
Through your paycheck.
So you then automate the repayment of it, and you're still okay that way. So sometimes using your own money as a bank and having no real repercussions, because again, let's say you borrowed, I don't know, Tom, you borrowed $20,000, and what's the typical repayment term? 5 years?
Yeah, that's the max for the 401k.
Okay, so let's say you paid it back over 5 years and you really needed to do something rather than putting it on credit card, rather than taking any of these other things. You borrow the money and you pay it back over 5 years, and 5 years later, it's like it never happened.
So yeah, I see that working really well with cars because, you know, the old days, 0% interest or no interest on cars wasn't a big deal. But as interest rates on cars go up, and cars probably the biggest purchase you're going to make besides your house, maybe. Yeah. So say you buy a $30,000-$40,000 car, if you can do a loan against your 401k and buy the car for cash, and then just pay it back, you'd save some money that way. We'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK 0904081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU, Derek Eggeberg, Tom Rush, Russ Clark, talking all things money and credit. A couple of sidelines. The 9/11 Mobile Memorial coming to the Tunnel to Towers is in town today and for a brief window tomorrow. Are you gentlemen going over to see?
I thought about it. Do you know the times?
I don't know the times. I know actually there was.
I think it's this evening, and then it's tomorrow, like from noon to or 10 to 1 or 2.
Yeah, I want to say it. Don't quote me on this, but I think it opened 11 or 12 o'clock today. and ran through like 7 p.m. And then there was a brief window tomorrow.
Do you know if there's a cost?
I don't care if there is a cost.
No, I know, but for the listeners.
I thought you were asking for like $5 or something. No, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a donation till somewhere, but.
Well, I hope there would be at that point. But, you know, it's interesting that sometimes the word that I would like to use in my life.
It's
going
to be 1 o'clock to 7 tonight.
1 to 7.
Yeah.
Started with a 1. See, I was
close. How about tomorrow?
Doesn't say tomorrow.
But, you know, let's look at perspective. You and I have younger kids that were not alive when 9/11 happened. So we have a different perspective than they do. Russ, your father bought a home in Florida when the market was not as financially liquid as it is now.
Yeah.
He has a different perspective on home ownership as you do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you look at when you talk about credit cards and Christmas, you know, Tom, how many credit cards do you have?
Probably more than I should.
Okay. And if I said your grandparents, how many credit cards did your grandparents have?
Probably one if they're lucky.
One if they're lucky because it didn't
from their bank.
Yeah, you know. It didn't exist. And the ability for you and I to charge and go into debt immediately is what's changed. And it's the perspective of we've made it so easy for people to get into debt. You know, you don't have to go talk to your banker today. Tom, if you wanted to walk into a department store or an electronics store and walk out with a $10,000 TV, do you have to talk to anybody other than maybe answering to your wife later tonight?
No.
You go pull out a small piece of plastic and you say, yep, I'm good for that. And you leave where 60 years ago, what did you have to do?
Think about it. Go to the bank, pull the cash out. I mean, it's just longer thought process.
Yeah.
Right?
You literally had to have the money to spend, or you had to sit down with a banker and go through the process of explaining the borrowing and proving your 3 C's, your capacity and collateral and your creditability. We've made it so easy for people to get into debt. And the scary thing is, again, you go back to what you started this show on. It's not necessarily debt for tangible goods that are appreciating assets. It's literally, hey, I'm going to go to Circle K 3 times today. I'm going to go to Starbucks. I'm going to go out to eat. And
normal.
Nothing against Circle K or Starbucks, any of these convenience
stores. Or
eating
out.
No. Not, I mean, some of my best friends are restaurant owners. Nothing against those things. But we've made it to a point that you put those on debt, not cash.
Could be terrible.
And that's back to your point with the savings. You know, if you don't have, and in your mind you say 6 months savings?
Yeah. Yep.
So if you don't have 6 months savings, could you eat bologna sandwiches for a while? Could you make coffee at your house?
Sure.
For a while?
Or eat, you know, take a sack lunch or eat, you know, go out. It's discipline. It's all discipline.
And so the perspective is sometimes the reason that, you know, grandma and grandpa always had cash in their pocket, that was their only mechanism. It wasn't pull out credit card or cash. If they did not have the money in their pocket, you didn't get to do anything.
So one of the financial stresses out there is they studied like wages in the United States, and if you look like a lot, I think the last 20 years, like wages haven't gone up a lot. I mean, in considering, so I think a lot of people, especially, feel like they're stuck with the same, you know, same wage, give or take. So they're limited on how much money they bring in. But definitely, the less money you bring in, the less you can spend and enjoy life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that people need to start thinking about is figuring out how to break that mold. And there's different ways to do it. One would be to work overtime or a second job, which, you know, that could be a weekend job or, you know, but it could be done. And now, as you know, the job pool is more and more limited than where it was. So there's people hiring. And again, it goes back to the discipline of, do you want to help yourself?
It's discipline, and now you're going to get into a mental thing of work. A good friend of mine, this person works 3 jobs. And they're busy all the time. I mean, busy all the time. But they drive a really nice car, and they have things, and they have cash, and they have investments. And I've got another friend of mine who will work 39 hours a week, doesn't ever want to touch 40,
yeah,
but will complain that they can't have as many nice things as this person who has 3 jobs. Now, perspective, I'm pretty good at stepping back and saying, well, there's a very easy formula to this. but you literally want to go home and sit on the couch and watch TV after your 39 hours, why don't you go work like that person? You know, and
it's a choice.
Can't have it both ways, yeah. Right? So I know, like, some people at the YPG with overtime, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. They get busy where overtime is in play. And this is an older guy about my age. I'm 53. But
older.
He basically said when they have overtime, you know, you see the same people just could care less, that done with work. Then you got the same other people that are, like, raising their hand, trying to outmaneuver to get that overtime. So, again, it's a mental mindset.
It all is. And again, it's the discipline of saying, hey, I'm going to work a little more. I'm going to save a little more. I'm going to spend a little less. I'm going to invest a little bit more. It's just a math formula. You know, Tom, you've done well over your career. Was it, if I looked at you today, are you the same person? And I've known you for a long time. Are you the same person you were the day you started at Dean Witter all those years ago? Financially, education.
Well, I mean, I hope to say I would be as a person for the most part. Like, don't forget your roots is what I'd hope the answer would be.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'd hate to say this, but money is independence, financial independence. So I've done some traveling and some things that, you know, a lot of people probably couldn't do.
But if I
financially, I'm better off, right,
yeah,
than I was.
But if Russ said, oh, my gosh, man, I wish I was Tom Rush. He, you know, I mean, he's so lucky. Would you say lucky or would you say, geez, Russ, I've worked for like 30 years to get here and you haven't seen the work that I've done, you know? And you go back to, there's a great quote by Usain Bolt. I don't know. Have you ever seen his quote? You know, he trained 4 years to run that 8-second race. And people see the results of the 8 seconds, but they don't see the 4 years of kicking work to run what, you know, an eighth of a minute. I mean, just a sliver of time. And so that perspective of, man, you know, we've got to take this long view. Russ, do you want your grandbabies wishing for something right away, or do you want to teach them how to invest and save and be disciplined?
Oh, you might as well teach them how to save. They have no concept of money.
But I would tell you, it's easy to say that, because I could tell you my kids were raised a lot different than myself. You know, hey, we were out in Dayton, so we didn't have much to, like, spend money on. Mm-hmm. But my dad, I mean, we started hoeing cotton at, like, 10 years old. And those rows were, like, almost a quarter of a mile in the summertime. But he had us always working, and we enjoyed the money. I think it was minimum wage was, like, $3.50 or something. So we never thought we were, like, getting beat up. We thought, I want to make some money. So anyways, as you know, with your kids, I mean, if you have more, then you want to maybe make that life a little easier. And, mm-hmm. and I'm at fault of that. I look in hindsight, I probably should have been more like my dad and
made him work harder.
My dad used to get the leather belt out and whip us when we deserved it, like a true SWAT.
Was that
you know, just a different way of being brought up and such. So
yeah, you know, we can all look back and as long as, here's the thing, you and I are not being judgmental on anybody. These are things that we need to start passing along to the next generations and even help our friends and family that may not be as disciplined. I sit down with people in my office and do a budget, whether it's monthly, whether it's quarterly, just to give them a sounding board, just to say, hey, am I making a good decision? And you'd be surprised, people who have worked for me for 5 or 6 years, and we've done this for 5 or 6 years, still need guidance and advice and
do any of them ever just say none of your business?
They did the very first couple times, and now you'd be surprised that most people want it
because they see the other people succeeding mm-hmm. from it, right? Mm-hmm. And they were like, want some.
Well, and you know, nobody wants to admit. Here's where it is: most people don't want to admit they're dumb. They don't want to say, "Hey, Russ, I'm coming into your shop. I'm an idiot. I don't know where to add the oil in my engine." You know, but I'm sure you have people like that.
Of course.
That their engine oil is low, and they literally don't know how to add oil to
or
an engine.
Or didn't know you had to put oil.
Yeah. You mean they're not all air-cooled like a VW? Come on.
No.
But that we don't like to admit that we need help. We want to, hey, I'm strong, I'm independent. That's what you got to get over the first couple times.
You know, I've been doing a lot more YouTube, listening to some of these financial people that I find are pretty good. And I never got into YouTube really, but there's a podcast called All In. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. Listeners, no. I would listen to it. It's these four billionaires that are give or take about my age. They all came from nothing for the most part, and they made money through starting businesses, mainly through Silicon Valley. But they just talk about what's going on, the war in Israel. They talk about, you know, the House of Speaker getting kicked out. They don't talk about anything. But they're very smart people, and you can tell, and I think they study up on this, so they give a pretty good grasp on through their eyes, you know, what's going on. And they had, like, Elon Musk on there. They had they know people. So some of our guests are, like, pretty high power. But anyways, you can – if you're embarrassed about doing it, talking to someone about it, just get on YouTube and figure out how to do these things. It's all over the place. Be right back. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK 0904081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
And he looks at her and says, "Hey, darling, I can remember when you could stop a flower. Oh, but ain't that America for you and me?"
Good morning, Derek Eggeberg, Tom Rush, Russ Clark, talking all kinds of things on Money Talk AM 560. And I really think this is like a warp bubble. There's like a time machine in here. I don't understand how an hour goes this fast, and we've got like 12 minutes left.
Financial stress. One thing I notice is, you know, the stress of shopping nowadays, buying goods. And I'm kind of, I don't know, I consider myself tight, but to some degree I'm not going to pay a lot for something that I think's not. So I was in the airport, and, you know, I said, I'll grab a candy bar or something, $4.99 for a candy bar, and you know, not just regular size one. And it's something I really wanted, but I said, I can't do it.
But I'm going to go back to perspective, though, that we have lost our perspective. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to spend that on a candy bar, but what's minimum wage?
It's at 13 and a half.
Just round, you know, round it to 15 bucks.
What is it, Russ? Do you know?
It's like 14 and a quarter.
Round it to 15. So you're saying that candy bar is a third of an hour's work. It's not that much perspective based on a minimum wage, which I know you're not earning minimum wage. You know, and you look at the perspective, and now I can really see my grandparents saying, "Oh my gosh, that's so expensive," because their perspective is back when, like, you were hoeing cotton, you know, for $3 an hour, you feel like that's a really expensive candy bar. My kid would go to the store and buy three of them, you know, work, gets off work, you know, takes his paycheck, he'll go buy three candy bars and a Thirst Buster, and it's like, you look at
just
it, and
drop
that's
$12,
you know, that's
whatever.
15, 20
nuts.
Bucks.
So
I want to be your son.
Whatever.
Hey, so one of the things, you know, when my wife does most of the shopping, but she always like, "What do you want?" And I usually say, "Well, I'm out of this, out of that," you know. And anyway, she comes back. I'm like, "Hey, did you get me X?" And she's like, "No, it was way too expensive." And I'm like, you know, something, I don't know, food-wise or whatever. So I'm just like, okay, well, maybe next week. Maybe next week.
Yeah, save
so
up.
She was, you know, she has the same, I mean, she's actually tighter than I am, but, you know, naturally we can afford all this stuff, but
there's a tolerance,
you know,
for all of us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know.
So I don't know. It's one of those things. And I think the older you get, I'm above the age of 50. like you said, did you own some expensive watches? Yeah, I had two of them at one point. And then I just got rid of them because I realized they sit there most of the time. And that's kind of the pain of, you know, of just having them there. And if they get broke, then that's more money. So yeah. I just, I'm better off not owning them. So I got rid of them. But you kind of get into perspective as you get older that, I could wear these Levi's for the next 5 years.
Well, you think of a, you know, kind of like the old food pyramid. And then there's, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of human needs. That watch filled a need, but it wasn't at the top of the pyramid. Where was that?
And maybe it felt a need like in my mid-30s, but not
so.
50,
so
right?
You went from, you know, I got to have basic shelter, basic food and safety. Then I've got a little bit of this. Now you're getting things, and then you move beyond things to, you talked about it earlier, what's money to you now? You said
it's
financial
it's
security.
It's financial independence. Yeah, it's a tool to do things and maybe help people too, because I mean that's
you get your pleasure from having the safety and security and helping people, not looking at a shiny metal thing strapped to your arm.
And for me to go out and buy a big fancy, you know, $75,000-$80,000 car, that's the last thing I want to do.
Yeah, you could get a bicycle and an ugly dog. You know, work out.
Does the bicycle come with the ugly dog?
No, you have to get that separate.
So it's not a buy one, get one kind of a thing.
This was a free one, though. It's a free ugly dog.
It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz with the little Dorothy dog in the front.
That's right.
So which one is the ugly dog? Is it the dog or is it Russ?
Well, you always look like your dog after a while.
But, you know, you go back to it. Russ, why do you ride the e-bike?
I like it. It's just health reasons. It's just I don't need a car. I just wanted to change up.
So the car wasn't your, hey, this is who I am.
No, it was not. But I loved the car to death. Don't get me wrong. It was fun. I enjoyed it. But why am I spending money on a car that I don't need?
Now you go down the road, though, what you talk about financial stress. How many people buy a car that represents their person and it gives them that satisfaction of look?
Too many.
And you know, in my position, I see a lot of military people, E3s, E4s, and if you don't know what that is, it's entry level positions, you know, that they're literally using their entire paycheck to pay for a car because that gives them the
a status
symbol.
Yeah, status. They feel it does something for them.
I mean, my first car I bought that I made a little money was a used, but as a F-Bird T-top, fire red. So I got sucked into that trap.
Yeah,
I mean,
you do. And you think it comes with a girlfriend, and it does. It never does.
I did meet my wife and got married while I owned it. So it had a purpose. But
it worked for you. Okay.
But then it was impractical to only see two people in the front, kind of. And But you go through phases.
And I think your point, you identify as your assets or as you as a person. Mm-hmm. And I think that was part of the thing for me was I unloaded all my assets. You know, I just that's just me. That's all that's left.
I don't know how you are, Russ, but when I'm in the office, I'm in my office mode. Sometimes I drive around town because I got to run an errand or do something. And I actually like thinking like, okay, I got, you know, 5-10 minutes in my car. And then you start thinking about other things that aren't on your mind. So even riding a bike, you probably even have more time to think, right? I mean,
mostly
twice the time to think.
He's not struggling for survival for all the cars out there.
Well, I say he's thinking he hoped Tom Rush is not distracted driving and running up on the sidewalk.
Yeah, well, that's, you know. But, I mean, it probably slows your life down a little bit where you think about things that aren't as, you know.
It definitely does. I'm getting the heart going a little bit. It's more physical exercise, but.
Well, look at you talked about driving around. It's funny because my son and I, my youngest, we went to dinner last night and driving home, it's lots of traffic and people just screaming by. And then you get to a point that all of a sudden the traffic disappears and it's down on, say, 24th and Avenue C. And all of a sudden, you know, now you see the stars and everything is quieter. And it just felt like the pace changed. And you think how many people were buzzing up and down 16th Street really fast going somewhere because they have to do something as opposed to they have the perspective that they get to go do something.
Right.
And I know you've done the bike parades and the bike rides. Why do you go hang out with a bunch of people on the bikes riding around?
Well, the same attitude of, I guess, just taking life easy. It's
kind of a laissez-faire, just go enjoy.
You probably know what back roads in Yuma are, have no cars, right?
I know
cars,
all the
right?
dirt roads now, all the not, dirt
not the paved roads, though. Like, which ones are not that many cars on it?
Oh, yeah.
So you take the little back way to get to a place without...
Well, yeah, I could zip through the residential areas real fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's the same as we used to do going to high school, drive through all the back roads.
Yeah, but in a car, it's a little more cumbersome.
Well, that's true.
On the bike, you know, and I always have sidewalks available. You don't. If the traffic...
You shouldn't. But, you know, go back to where you started. Financial stress is a controllable thing, but it takes time and discipline. So, you know, we always joke around about this. Tom, should you and I be more in the gym? Should you and I be a little more healthy?
Everyone should, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm not going to go and do 3 push-ups right now and go, man, I'm glad I got that done for the year 2023. You know, but at least it would be the starting. And you're not going to fix whether it's $1.03 trillion of credit card debt in the United States. We're not going to fix that today. But the discipline over time is, and you could fix it. But you talk about the savings rates. Why did the savings rates go through the roof during COVID?
Well, people weren't going out.
You were locked down, man. Yeah. No restaurants.
Locked down. You were at home. And you had some extra money coming in. And now as soon as everything opens up, the savings rates plummet down to nothing again. And people are out spending. It's just the discipline of changing a little bit of lifestyle. And I, you know, there's times, Russ, I applaud you for riding around that electric bike because you've kind of shown that you don't need a car. Although sometimes I wish you would buy the more expensive deodorant in the middle of the summer, but that's a whole different story.
You're not the first one to say that. Amazing. And I have other cars available, company cars, if you know, during the day. Yeah. But.
So it's almost like the turtle and the hare story, where if you have a little bit of discipline and you chip away at something, you can achieve financially what you want to achieve. I mean, it might take you years, but it can be done. Yep. I mean, I read this book called The Millionaire's Next Door. Mm-hmm. It's an old book.
I remember it.
But basically, they have they analyze people that have been here for many generations, Americans. Then they analyze immigrants that come in from different countries. And a lot of times, these immigrants go to the millionaire status within one person
generation.
Living. Yeah. So they kind of studied why that happens. And again, it goes back to discipline. I mean, they're looking for opportunity, happy to have opportunity. You want me to work 7 Sundays? I'm in, you know, just a different mindset. And
what's the mindset? Go back to what did Sam Walton drive forever?
The truck,
old
right?
Truck, that old truck.
Yeah. It,
you know, rich, beyond belief, had everything available, drove his old truck. Just the perspective that, you know, sometimes that first generation immigrant coming in doesn't need to prove that status symbol. They're just working hard to pay for their family and that saving.
I think what they realize too is in those countries that are tougher to make money in, you try so hard to make some money. When you come here, those opportunities all over the place, and that's like almost like picking money off the ground for them. It's work, but it's easy. So I think they take advantage of that. Hey, the biggest country that came over in this book that made the quickest millionaires were the Russians. And that's what I said too. But the reason is because in the communists, they would basically make a product. 9 would go for the cause of whatever they're making it for. 1 would go out the back door and be sold on the black market.
Right.
So the Russians were very good at negotiation, and they were very good at, like, you know, selling stuff. And when you come here, you can do it for free. Like, no one's going to, if you bought a car and flipped it, like, no one's going to tell you that's you can't do it. So basically, they were into the selling, buying things.
They were into corruption.
Property. Well, over there, they were stealing. But that's just how the whole economy worked. If you made something, 100% didn't go to the country.
You got like 30 seconds.
So anyways, that was interesting. So anyways, have a great weekend, everybody. Hopefully, if you're going to some Halloween parties, be careful. And enjoy your family. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Stay safe. Thank you for your service. If you are serving, have served, or your family members have ever served, go visit the Tunnel of the Tower and the Balloon Festival on Veterans Day weekend in 2 short weekends.
The opinion.
opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC registered investment advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.